Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
But I'll tell you, it sure did bother me on Saturday when I read the story in the Tribune about three young men from India who have come to study in Chicago at IIT, as I recall. They were going to, in South Holland, a mall, and as they got out of their car and then were walking, no, they weren't in their car, they took the train, they took the L, as I recall. They were walking into the mall, and as they were getting close, going through the parking lot now, a Kia, I think, pulled up. Bunch of guys jumped out, demanded their phones and money. They complied. They said, get down on the ground. They got down on the ground. It sounds like the bad guys didn't even want their phones. They wanted cash. They collected $6. And then they shot him anyway. One of the young men died, having been in the United States for only 10 days. He came to Chicago from India to study, and 10 days later, he shot lying face down in a parking lot, senselessly. A truck driver, hearing the pop-pop nearby, saw the kids jump into the car and drive away. One of them survived his bullet wound. The other one was not shot at all. He talked to the Tribune. And I got to tell you, when you see stories like that, you think, boy, I wish I had a gun. Or if they find these kids, never let them walk free again. And that's not the way I talk, because in general, that's not a constructive philosophy. That's my political view on that sort of thing. But in that moment, you think, wow, this is just so bad in every possible way. And then you got Willie Wilson running for mayor, and he said, well, we need to hunt these people down like rabbits. And I'm playing back that loop in my head when I'm reading that story going, you know what? I wish somebody had a gun and they could hunt those people down. Just such mean and angry thoughts you have when you read a story like that. And then I see what Laura Washington said in the Chicago Tribune in an op-ed, where she remembered that Willie Wilson, in a January 19th forum hosted by Channel 7, Laura does work there, said, somebody run, this is Willie Wilson. You remember the quote, somebody run, chase somebody by foot or car. That police officer should be able to chase them down and hunt them like a rabbit. Later on, Jamal Green and Lori Lightfoot were especially critical of that kind of comment, and I was too. I'm the one that said, that's the sort of attitude that gets you Memphis, for crying out loud. We can't respond that way. But Washington says behind Wilson's rabbit's comment is an uncomfortable truth about crime in Chicago. We put her on. We called you up, Lord, ask you to expound on that a little bit. Welcome back. How have you been?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, John. Good to be with you.
What's your point here, Laura? What did you say in this piece?
Well, my point is, of course, is the comment, hunting them down like rabbits, that's a very troubling, difficult comment to embrace, because we do have rights in this country. Criminals or alleged criminals must be apprehended and arrested lawfully. The police should be make sure that they uphold rights, that they, you know, if police are in danger, of course they have to respond, but you can't go out hunting down suspected criminals. But by the same token, we have to remember that, and the truth behind what he had to say is that these are really bad guys, as you said earlier, and a lot of the people that are out here committing these crimes, shootings, carjackings, murders, are people of color, and they are committing these crimes against other people of color, particularly African Americans and Latinos. If you look at the statistics, the murder statistics from last year, you see that the vast majority of the folks who were murdered were African American and young, in their 20s. And most likely, most of the people that committed those crimes, many of them which haven't been apprehended, were also African American. So we're killing each other, when I'm speaking for the black community. And it's got to stop. And we need to acknowledge that, because that's, I think, part of the issue.
That's the uncomfortable truth, that it's black on black crime, or that we need to be more serious about it. We need to.
Well, both. Both. I mean, the African American community is more threatened, more damaged by this crime than any other community, because of what I just said, because most of the crime is happening there. That's what Willie Wilson was talking about. And he lost his 20-year-old son to violence some time ago. And he talks about the grieving parents like him who want this crime to end. But we have to acknowledge that, you know, it's happening in our own communities, and it's being perpetrated by people in our own communities. And we have to be, I think, more firm and more aggressive about fighting this crime and acknowledging that. And I end the piece by talking about the fact that this is not a conversation that you're seeing in the mayor's race. You're seeing a lot of conversation around crime prevention, about violence prevention, about economic development, bringing more jobs, all the things we need to do to give people opportunity. But some of these people, again, are just bad guys. They're criminals. They're gangbangers. And they have to be apprehended and put away.
The closure rate in Chicago with the police department is just terrible. And I don't know how much of an indictment that is of CPD, since the cooperation that they get in the streets is negligible. But we just, you know, I was thinking about that. I thought, those kids will probably get away with it. They will probably never be apprehended. They'll live to shoot again. I mean, just statistically, that's a pretty safe statement on my part.
Absolutely. The official closure rate that the police department claims is 50%. 50% of the...
Oh, really? 50?
Murders. 50, half. But based on some of the analysis I've seen, it's probably lower because of the way they categorize solved crimes. But that's just unacceptable. That means half the people out there who committed murder are out there, and as you said, to kill again. And the reasons behind it are very complicated. Part of it is that people in the communities are reluctant to come forward and finger people and provide evidence because they're afraid. And they know that retaliation, especially when you're considering gang activity, is very real. But also the police department is under-resourced. There's been a lot of debate about whether or not we need to have more police. Well, clearly we don't have enough resources, whether it should go into more police officers or go into other ways to fight crime. We don't have enough resources to fight the crime, and we need to really bring up that clearance rate.
Not to delve into the planks of the candidates themselves, I believe it was Brandon Johnson was on this show, and he said, well, I think that we need to divert resources, that is, take police officers away from having to handle some of the things they do and get them more in the street, either fighting crime or preventing crime. But we do need counselors or people that can de-escalate situations and not take the time of police officers to do some of the work they do. I'm interested in that. I'm also interested in how do we ever stem the tide? And I'm not sure we can jail or shoot down the problem. But that sounds soft, Laura. If you say, well, we need to do economic development or, you know, do something for these kids, that doesn't seem to be strident enough for people these days. Would you agree with that?
I mean, when you have a 50% clearance rate, you're clearly sending a message to the criminals that they're pretty likely to be able to get away with murder or anything else they try to do. So we need to be tougher. The police department needs to be tougher. They need to apprehend more criminals, make sure those criminals get handed over to the prosecutors and get punished, because it does send a message, and maybe that's one way to curb crime. I mean, we're not at an all-time high in terms of the murder rate in the city. That we haven't seen that since the 90s, but every single killing is unacceptable, and the grieving families of the victims certainly deserve to make sure that the police department responds and arrests the criminals.
Well, maybe we do need the stick then. Do you think it would trickle down, that is, if the word got out, wow, I'm going to get caught and I'm going to go to jail, that would stem some of the tide? Would that be a deterrent of sorts?
One would hope so. I think it's certainly worth a try. I mean, we need to deter crime. We need to stop the criminals. We need to apprehend people. Whether or not it deters crime or not, we need to bring justice to these families, and people need to be punished. I think it would have an effect, though. But again, I think that, you know, the criminals know that the cops are overwhelmed, and in some cases the cops are afraid and not necessarily willing to chase after them. So that gives them the freedom to think that they can do these things with impunity.
The cops are afraid, you say, to chase after them because the cops might be prosecuted for their errant behavior. Is that what you're thinking?
That's part of it. It's also part of it is that these guys are dangerous. As you mentioned earlier, we have far too many guns on the streets, and some of these criminals have very dangerous weapons, and they're not afraid to use them, and they're not afraid of the cops anymore. So, if I'm a police officer and I want to go home to my wife and children at night, maybe I think twice before I try to do what Willie Wilson is suggesting and hunt them down.
You know, I was thinking the other day about the instant that the officer stood before the open door of Paul Pelosi's house and saw a man with a knife. And what a terrifying situation that is. And what did the officer do? But instinctively ran in and jumped on top of this guy who looked able enough to defend himself and do harm to somebody. And the cop, you know, he didn't call for backup. He just dove into that scene. We ask the police to do that sort of thing all the time. I also just wanted to get your observation about this. You talked about how the crime in the city is black on black, or at least persons of color on persons of color. It seems to me when I do see people on TV defending their right to bear arms to protect themselves, it's often white people. It's almost as if inadvertently or without specific intention, they're advocating for guns so that black people can defend black people. But I don't see a lot of black people on TV saying we need more guns to defend ourselves, and yet they are the victims of the gun violence themselves. I don't know. Is there a racial kind of irony in all of that?
I've covered gun violence and covered the whole issue of gun control for a long time, and you'd be surprised how many very vocal, active African Americans are out there who are very much want to uphold their right to bear arms. There's organizations, there's clubs. I'm on the mailing list for a very major African American led organization that does training, firearms training, that advocates for gun ownership. And we're African Americans are just maybe a little bit more quiet about it. But you look, your typical African American that lives on the south or west side of Chicago, especially an African American male, law abiding people who work every day.
Yeah.
Many of them own guns, and they, you know, they're not going to tell you about it, but they own guns because they live in dangerous places.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that. In fact, I don't know if you follow Corey Brooks, the rooftop pastor, on Twitter, but over the weekend he posted a picture of a 9mm gun, and he wrote this: "This morning I picked up a 9mm gun from a single mother. She took the gun from her 15-year-old son, who is an ace student, athlete, and not involved in the gangs. He said he was carrying the gun because he's scared of the guys on the block and at school." And you can
isn't that tragic?
The gun looks so lethal. And then there's the clip with it as well. The young man wrapped a bunch of rubber bands around the grip to give him, I guess, a better hold of the weapon itself. And I thought, what a way to go to school. You know, we worry that our kids don't have healthy snacks. This kid's carrying a gun just to get in and out of school every day. Imagine that.
Right, right. There's real fear out there. And this is a young man who's trying to do the right thing, but he's also trying to live.
Well, so I guess this is the last point. I think it takes me back to, maybe not there, but for the grace of God go I, but when we see these kids jump out of the car and shoot the young men in the parking lot at the mall, I want those kids to go to jail forever, right? But they may be 18 years old or 17 years old. And you can't help but ask, how is it that we're turning out 17-year-olds who would be that wanton, who would just kill for killing's sake, who have not a care in the world? What are the circumstances that are creating those kinds of kids? And if want to stem the tide, we need to think about that too.
I think we do. And I think that I think we need gun control. I think we need more police resources. But we also do need more anti-violence restorative justice programs to reach these kids and to teach them that there is another way. And there's a very vibrant, very active community of anti-violence educators and activists in Chicago, and they're doing really important work. You want to reach these kids before they commit these crimes, and you want to help them understand the impact of what they do. And I think that there's a lot of programming out there that should be supported. The city is doing some of that now, but I think we need a lot more of those kinds of resources as well.
I have to take a break. Do you just have one more minute, Laura? I want to ask you this question and maybe get your answer to it. If you don't have time, thank you for joining us. But my question would be, I wonder if any of the mayoral candidates we can assume would be able to fix this or make a noticeable change. Do you think any one of the candidates could make a noticeable change in this situation? In fact, I still got you here, Laura. Do you have an answer to that off the top of your head?
I have not seen anything fundamental that would make me think that any of these candidates can really move the ball. Lori Lightfoot is has had 4 years to do it. She's had all the resources and experience and education that one would need to move it. And I haven't seen anybody come up with any better ideas, unfortunately.
You can read Laura Washington's commentary in the February 6th edition of the Chicago Tribune. Behind Wilson's rabbit's comment is an uncomfortable truth. It's good to talk to you, Laura. Thanks for your time
today.
You bet. You see her sometimes on ABC 7 Chicago, political analyst there and contributing columnist at the Tribune, and sometimes a mincing rascal in our Wednesday podcast on WGN. Lots of text messages about our last conversation with Laura Washington. Yes, 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 she is so correct. There's no support for the police. Why would they risk their life and job? They're humans first, just like everyone else. 309, boy, finally, someone telling the truth about this crime situation. Jim, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
My daughter works at the juvenile detention center, and they get kids from 12 to 17. And I was talking to her about, you know, these young kids, if they would had higher crimes and automatic, you know, sentence them to 20, 30 years. She goes, it wouldn't make a difference. These kids don't care. She goes, maybe one out of 50 might have a chance of being rehabbed, but the rest of them, they brag about being in there. They high five. Hey, I didn't see you since you were 12, you know, happy birthday. And it's so sad that these kids are that bred into it at that young of an age.
You know, that's the sense I get. The idea that, oh, you've lost some of your childhood or your life, or it's embarrassing, or it's a scourge on your family. It's too much a part of some community, not everybody, but evidently there's
Correct.
A population of people out there, and they go, yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be.
Yes. And a lot of those young ones are attempted murders, and she says when they're sitting around inside, they could be sweet kids, but when something hits the fan, they go back to instinct mode, you know?
Where is the detention center that your daughter works at?
I'd rather not say.
Fair enough.
It's not Cook County, but it's the next county over.
My dad used to do that. My dad was a guidance counselor at the Reception and Diagnostic Center, where the juveniles would go before they were then received, diagnosed, and then sent to whatever their incarceration would be. And he used to talk to those kids all the time. And I've done enough work with the Salvation Army over at Cook County on California to know that when you go in there, you think, what went wrong? Look at these young faces. You know, what's going on here? Okay, I'm glad you called, Jim. Our best to your daughter.
All right, thanks, John.
Have a good day. Mike, what did you want to say? I got about a minute, Mike. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Talk to me.
You know, what I wanted to say is prosecutors should prosecute. I've got at least, I'm 62, and there's at least six of my friends, all roughly the same age, all Chicago policemen, all retired early because they can't police. Police can't police. You know, and what they should do is bring back the death penalty. What the fella just said is they take it as a joke because they get in and they get out. Well, certain crimes you shouldn't get out. You shouldn't get a second or a third chance or a fifth chance. And until they start prosecuting, this isn't going to get better.
Okay, Mike, I'm glad you called. Thanks to your buddies. I'm sorry they're still not on the force. I understand.